and preserving us. We thank the Lord for all things that he continues to do in our lives. Tonight, we are going to continue in our teaching we began last week. And hopefully we can wrap it all up tonight. If not, we have next week to continue. One of the things that I'm very careful about, as you know, when it comes to the teaching of the Word of God, we don't rush it. We take our time. We expound the scriptures. We reveal the truth in Christ according to the scriptures. Amen and amen. So we don't play fast and loose with the scriptures. You understand what I'm talking about? We don't rush the study of the Word of God. We take our time to explain, to expound. Amen and amen. To uncover meaning of the text of scripture so that we may know what is the mind of God concerning us in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. And I know that your heart is ready. I've said to you several times, God is not the one going to prepare your heart. God is not the one going to prepare your mind. You must prepare yourself. That is your responsibility. So anytime you're coming for a meeting, you're coming for a service, you make up your mind and say, I'm here to receive. I'm here to receive, to learn. My heart is ready. My mind is alert. I will not be distracted. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. I receive and responding into the Word of God. That should be your preparation. Amen and amen. God is not going to do that for you. This year, we have said, is our year of love. Hallelujah. Amen. We said it was our year of love. We broke it down into three areas. Growing in the love of Christ. That is knowing and growing in the love of Christ. Walking in the love of Christ towards all men. And laboring in love in the ministry. Hallelujah. Last week, we began a teaching on worship. And we said we are going to explore our theme for the year in that teaching. And we laid some very important foundations. As we began from the book of John, chapter number 4, Jesus's discourse with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well, where Jesus said that the time is coming and now is, that they that worship God will worship him in spirit and in truth, for Father seeks such to worship him. And we did establish that until then, Father had not yet received what he was seeking. If he had, there would not have been any need to send Jesus. That means the work of Christ paved a way for the coming of the people we call true worshipers. The work of Christ made possible the appearance or the emergence of true worshipers. So the true worshiper, we said, is not necessarily the one rolling and crying on the floor in church or lifting up his hands and shouting about. No, the true worshiper is the one who is born again. Hallelujah. The new man in Christ, recreated in righteousness and true holiness. Hallelujah. He is the true worshiper, because that man has been given the Holy Spirit by whom he is able to worship God, that is, honor God, adore God, and serve God the way he wants. Without the Spirit of God, a man cannot worship God. All things we do in the faith must be offered through the eternal spirit to be acceptable to him. That is why Jesus even himself offered himself through the eternal spirit. So you and I, born again believers, are the true worshipers. And we said in Philippians 3:3, the Bible says, for we are the circumcision. That is, we are the real circumcision, not the circumcision made on the foreskin, but the circumcision of the heart done by the Spirit of the Lord, hallelujah, which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Amen and amen. We are the circumcision. Our circumcision was our born again experience. And by that experience, we have been made true worshipers. Amen and amen. Because we worship in the spirit. We have the Holy Ghost by whom we are able to worship God. The Spirit of God is He that is able to equip us to worship the Father. We said worship comes from the Greek word proskuneo, that is to prostrate oneself in homage, to adore, to reverence. And we said in the broader context of the scriptures, it means to honor, to adore, to serve. And in honoring, you must recognize. In honoring God, there is a recognition, we said, of the person of God, who He really is, His awesomeness, I mean, His magnanimity, if I may use that word, hallelujah. How great God is, hallelujah. In honor, you don't honor someone who is not great. So in honor, there's a recognition of the greatness of the person. In adoring, there's a recognition of the attributes of the person, how beautiful he is, how awesome he is, how faithful he is, hallelujah. That's why when we are adoring God, we use such words. You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful beyond comprehension, and all that. We speak and sing of how faithful he is, how glorious he is. That's adoration. Amen and amen. Because we recognize the attributes of God, the might of his power, the excellence of his glory. That's adoration. And we also said that in worship is a recognition of the superiority of the one whom we worship. And by so doing, we serve. A man serves he who is greater than him. Hallelujah. So worship entails service. Amen and amen. And in service, there is a recognition of the superiority, hallelujah, of he who is served. So we lay these foundations. And I think we ended in Romans chapter number 12, verse 1 to 2. So we want to go to Romans chapter number 12 quickly. And we'll pick up the study from there. Romans chapter number 12, if you so please. Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, that is, your reasonable act of worship. We said the word service comes from the Greek word latria, which means ministration, to minister to. Remember, the priest of old, the Bible says that God gave them garment and set them apart to minister unto him. He chose the priest to minister unto him. They were in his service to minister unto him. Hallelujah. We have been made true worshipers in Christ, and we are admonished to present our bodies as living sacrifices. The old form of worship involved sacrifices and burnt offerings and all that. But we no longer use those things to worship God. The real sacrifice is you and I, our bodies, our entire being. So he says, present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy. Hallelujah. Acceptable unto God. You be made holy by your born-again experience. God has set you apart unto himself. By the placing of his Holy Spirit in you, you've been set apart. You are holy unto God. So he says, present your bodies as such. Live as such. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. Hallelujah. So we see that all this is part of our worship. Amen and amen. And we asked the question, and we said, in the answer to this question is going to be the teaching for the day. Amen and amen. What was that question? What constitutes our worship of God as believers? What constitutes? Remember, we said that when God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, he said to Moses, tell Pharaoh to let my people go, that they may worship me in the wilderness. The reason you've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness and brought into the marvelous light of God is to worship God. Hallelujah. What does this worship constitute for you as a believer? Is it just singing in church? We established that. No, it is much more than that, because we've already broken it down into three parts. Hallelujah. Honoring, adoring, and serving the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to even see more of that. So we're going to answer that question. What constitutes our worship of God as Christians? The first is growing in the knowledge of Christ. Somebody write this down. Stay with me. Growing in the knowledge of Christ. Talk to me, Faith Generation. It lets me know you are listening. Stay with me. Growing in the knowledge of Christ.
Growing in the knowledge of Christ.
The first part of your worship to God is growing in the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Remember in the Romans chapter number 12 that we read, verse 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world, the world from which you were delivered from. You were delivered from the corruption that is in this world. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How is that going to take place? Hallelujah. By growing in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter number 5, verse 9, Jesus speaking to the Jews of his day. He says, but in vain you worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. He says, in vain you worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. That means that an important part of worship is the teaching that a man is receiving. And that should tell you that your growth in the knowledge of Christ Jesus is part of your worship of God. Doctrine is an essential part of your worship of God. So Jesus said, in vain these people worship me, teaching for doctrine. So what teaching are you receiving? The renewing of your mind is not going to take place. Your transformation is not going to take place until you receive the proper teaching of the Word of God, which is the revelation of the truth in Christ. That's why we say growing in the knowledge of Christ Jesus. So the believer who has understood what worship is values and places a great premium on the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And seeks to grow in that knowledge. It is part of your worship. So to just sit down and not grow in the knowledge of Christ, you are not worshiping God. In Christianity, to worship God, part of it is growing in your knowledge of Christ. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse 15 to 20. Turn with me your Bibles. Paul says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Why did Paul pray this prayer? Because he knew that this is at the heart of our worship of God, of living our lives unto him. Hallelujah. That he will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Not just the spirit of wisdom and revelation. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Who is the him? Christ Jesus. Growing in the knowledge of Christ is part of your worship as a believer. So the believer heartily seeks out the knowledge of Christ in the scriptures. Seeks to know Jesus more. That is why Paul says that I may know him. Hallelujah. How would you know Jesus? Not by sleeping and having dreams of him. Not by having trances of him. But by diligent study of the scriptures. Hallelujah. Listen to what I said. How do you know Jesus? Not by sleeping and having dreams of him. Not by having trances of him. But by diligent study of the scriptures. Amen and amen. That's how you get to know Jesus. So that means that the believer places a great premium on the teaching of the Word of God and on the study of the scriptures. He pays attention to it. That is why, as a pastor, the message we teach matters, because this message I'm teaching, anytime I have the opportunity every Sunday to teach the Word of God to you, it behooves me to make sure I'm teaching you the truth in Christ, because it forms a part of our worship. Even the teaching itself that I'm engaged in is part of our worship, because Jesus said, in vain these people worship me, teaching for doctrines the traditions of men. So we stay away from the traditions of men. Oh, this is what we have heard all along growing up, so that's what we are abiding. No, we search out the scriptures. Hallelujah. To find out what is true in Christ and teach that. That's our message. Paul says, him we preach. This is very crucial. You might be engaged in so many activities, running up and down, helter-skelter. If the teaching in the house is not right, you miss it. You're not worshiping God. We don't follow the traditions of men. Oh, as for me, I'm a Pentecostal. As for me, I'm a Catholic. As for me, I'm a Methodist. This is what we believe. This is what we do. This is what we did. The question is, what you do and what you believe, is it consistent with the scriptures? That's what is, that's the main thing. It's not a mere tradition. The truth must become your tradition in Christ. Hallelujah. And that's what we seek out. And the truth is not anything that is new. Just because it sounds new doesn't mean it's true. The truth is what is revealed in the scriptures. And listen, we don't invent truth. In Christianity, there's no invention. Listen to what I'm talking about. There is no innovation in Christianity when it comes to the message that we teach and preach. I'm not saying that in our churches and in all that, we may not innovate in the way we seek to maybe do certain things. No. In the message we teach and preach, there is no innovation. Hallelujah. We teach what has been taught. That's why he says, the things that I've taught you, commit to faithful men who would be able to commit to other faithful men. It's the same message. Amen. The truth in Christ is already plainly revealed in the scriptures. That's why we teach how to approach the scriptures, how to study the scriptures. This is a vital part of your worship of God. When you wake up in the morning and you take your Bible and you are studying, you are worshiping God. When you are ruminating and regurgitating the word of God, you are worshiping Him. God, that what we are saying is God is pleased with such. These are sacrifices that are pleasing to the Father. They rejoice the heart of the Father when believers seek out the knowledge of Christ Jesus and seek to grow in that knowledge. It rejoices the heart of the Father. So don't play fast and loose with the scriptures. You know, you just go to the scriptures to go and find something to just, you know, support you or whatever thing. No, no, no. Don't play fast and loose with the scriptures like that. That's why we are careful. We are meticulous. We are particular. We are intentional and diligent in our exegesis of the scriptures. We are careful. We don't just say things because they are nice and good and people will jump and shout at it. We passed that stage. You understand what I'm talking about? As a pastor, we passed that stage. We don't just look for things that will move the crowd. No, we teach the truth in Christ. Paul says, him we preach. Amen and amen. Holding out the word of life unto all men. Paul says, we cease not to pray for you, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. In the knowledge of who? Him, Christ Jesus. As you grow in your knowledge of Christ, that's your worship unto God. Look at verse 8, he says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us what we believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Hallelujah. which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at the right, at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which to come. Amen and amen. Growing in your knowledge, in the knowledge of Christ Jesus. That was Paul's prayer. If you study all of Paul's prayer for the church, this was what, this was his prayer. Because this is at the heart of our worship. Growing in the knowledge of Christ. Knowing the truth that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Knowing the truth that is in Christ. Look at 2 Peter. Turn with me in your Bibles quickly. 2 Peter chapter number 3. We are talking about worship. We are answering the question, what constitutes worship of God? Or what constitutes our worship of God as Christians? And the first thing we are saying is growing in the knowledge of Christ. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse 18. The Bible says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes in the rendering in English, it makes it seem like it is opposite, you know, or they are two different things. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you are growing in grace and you are growing in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But truly, when he says grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, what he meant was grow in grace, which is the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll show you why that is so. This is Peter speaking. He says, but grow in grace, which is the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Look at 2 Peter chapter number 2. In chapter 2, he had already said this. In chapter 2, verse 1, he says, grace. Hallelujah. Grace and peace. Sorry, 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see it? How is grace multiplied to the believer? Through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when he says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, what was he saying? Growth in grace is growth in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. As you grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, grace is multiplied to you. It is at the heart of our worship, growing in the knowledge of Christ. So in this year, you're going to decide to commit yourself to diligent word study. You're going to commit yourself to listening to the teaching of the word of God. That's what I said to you. The messages are always recorded. Go back and listen to them over and over again. Hallelujah. Why is it important that you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? This is what pleases the Father. Amen. We are answering the question, what constitutes our worship of God as Christians? Growing in the knowledge of Christ. That means if you are not growing in your knowledge of Christ, if you are not engaged in diligent study of the word, you are not worshiping God. Your approach to the word of God is your worship of God. So if you treat the word of God haphazardly, your study of the word of God haphazardly, anyhow, you don't care, you just, you know, like I like to say, you play fast and loose with the scriptures like that, that you are playing fast and loose with your worship of God. Amen and amen. It rejoices the heart of the Father when he sees believers daily in the word, studying the word, growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's the first part. That's what constitutes your worship of God as a believer. The second is prayer. Amen and amen. In the New Testament, there's a plethora of scriptures that speak to prayer as being an everyday part of the believer's life. And if that is so, that should tell us that that is an important part of our worship of God. That's why we have instructions like 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. Hallelujah. Romans chapter number 12, verse 2, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Amen and amen. Prayer for the believer is a means of fellowshipping with the Father. Prayer is not just for things. Hallelujah. Prayer for the believer is a means of fellowshipping with the Father. It is an important part of our worship of God. Prayer is a declaration of our need for God, a recognition of his superiority. No man prays to a man he thinks he's lower than him. Prayer is a supplication of God, telling God that you are the great one to whom I look to. Hallelujah. Prayer is an important part of the worship. That's why we pray every morning. It's part of our worship. That's why we are instructed to pray without ceasing, to continue instant in prayer. And there are so many other scriptures that speak to the same. Colossians chapter number 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Hallelujah. Prayer is key, is part of our worship. And as we delve deeper in prayer, there are things we pray about and things we don't pray about. Hallelujah. And in the scriptures, you see, Paul specifically, you know, they specifically delineate for us by the Spirit of God the things we pray. You see all the time, praying for the saints, praying for the saints. Paul will say, but pray for us that, you know, the word will have free course. Pray that the word of God will have free course, it will have impact and all that. Praying for the saints, praying for the brethren will gather and pray that the ministry of the word will have impact wherever they go. Those should be the content of our prayers. Hallelujah. We are speaking of New Testament worship here. And we are saying prayer is part of our New Testament worship. What constitutes worship for us as believers? Growing in the knowledge of Christ. And number two, prayer. Because we see from the scriptures in the New Testament that all the instructions regarding prayer seem to suggest it is something that must be ongoing. It is something that we don't relent from. It is something that is not done at convenience. We do it always, irrespective of whatever is going on. Prayer is a constant that must never change in your life. Prayer. Hallelujah. We don't only pray when we feel like we need things. We pray because we are instructed to pray. It's a means to fellowship with the Father. The Bible says Jesus will spend all night in prayer. Hallelujah. What is he doing? He's fellowshipping with the Father. In prayer, we share the heart of the Father. There he can download his heart into our hearts. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. That's a prayer. We gather to pray. You say, Pastor, sometimes I don't know what to pray about. Oh, Shato Bayegala Badila Batas. You lift up your voice and pray in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Sometimes just get there and just be there. You are praying in the world. What are you doing? You are fellowshipping with the Father. The Bible says that he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. How be it in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. You are speaking to God. You are fellowshipping with God. Just be there and be praying in tongues. Prandes mandolo gosisa. Abrananda sezula bakoshadara. Desbamba zozi nebikato labrahose. Glory, Father. Ponga zizo la branga zega. I thought somebody would join me. Magaloba sisu la bango jide. Eprina nandu za grahuza za jia. Mama zondi parodolozi. Emianta za duba hatoze. Plelila luzeze. Bahunta guza antele mezuza. Perele zuzuzka atole. Iba bosha la labatu staya. Alianti sa angu. Shelela mantu leze. Prende lozo ku. Zabrato lebro kojirita alati kasa maralalo onse zizu mamma suzi lebebeka izime mandi nilono nosheya kurumbo zizi baliga gagose ibramindi ibramindi ozimamando shelelelesi uzbahazu ezibuji yudbahandu zaba izbabandu zelelemuzi zidada unta nombu zele zuzu mbabu shaya ogu Mamma Yes, Lord. Yes. Just be there. Pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. He says, pray with all manner and kinds of prayer in the spirit. All prayer and supplication in the spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance. That means you must persevere in prayer. Why persevere? Because prayer is work, but it is a joyous work we engage in. You persevere in prayer. You continue in prayer. You are instant in prayer. You pray always, all the time. Prayer can never be enough. It is the greatest avenue to fellowship with the Lord. Hallelujah. As you are in the word of the Lord, as you are studying the word of the Lord, oh, then you are praying, you are praying, you are praying, you are praying, you are fellowshipping with the Father. It pleases the heart of God. It rejoices the heart of the Father. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the ears of the Lord, amen and amen, they are attentive to the prayers of the saints. Amen and amen. The ears of the Lord are attentive to the prayers of the saints. 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. This should dispel any kind of fear in your heart in the name of Jesus. That means that God is He's not watching you looking for faults. He's watching you to protect you. He's watching you to keep you. He's watching you to preserve you. Hallelujah. He's watching you lovingly. Amen and amen. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. He says, these are my own. They will never leave my sight. I'm watching which way they go. I'm watching every way. If they are going astray, I'll lead them into my right paths. Hallelujah. And listen to this. It says, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. In other versions, it says, his ears are inclined to their prayer. That means God has turned his ear from heaven, waiting expectantly to listen to the prayers of the righteous. Who are the righteous? You and I. In Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That means that God longs, God yearns to hear you pray. Every morning when we gather for morning prayer, we lift up our voice, Kotom delibri akates. Father begins to rejoice in heaven. Hallelujah. Yes, my children. It rejoices the heart of the Father. Anytime you lift up your voice in prayer, it rejoices because he's waiting. That's the one thing. He's waiting to hear and answer your prayer. Prayer is an important part of your worship as a believer. It rejoices the heart of the Father. Amen and amen. That's why we don't joke with prayer. We don't joke with prayer. We don't joke with the study of the word. We are answering the question, what constitutes our worship of God as believers? We say growing in the knowledge of Christ. And two, we say prayer. Hallelujah. These rejoice the heart of the Father. Amen and amen. Let's move on. Number three, fellowship with the brethren. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse 25. The Bible says that not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. Hallelujah. You see it? He says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. That means, in the assembling of ourselves together, we have the opportunity to exhort one another. Hallelujah. We have the opportunity to teach one another, to establish one another in the truth. Hallelujah. To encourage one another, to lift up one another. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Fellowshipping with the brethren is part of our worship of God. Assembling together, fellowshipping with the brethren, that means that you must be part of a gathering of believers and be an integral part of it. Amen and amen. Be part of the gathering of the saints, because there the word of God is taught. Saints gather together to pray. As we are doing on the line now, we are fulfilling the scripture. Amen and amen. As you do in your local churches, you are fulfilling the scriptures. What makes it the gathering of the saints is the message that is taught and the activity that takes place. If the message is not there and the prayer is not there, it is merely a fanfare. Hallelujah. It rejoices at the hand of the Father when brethren gather together in his word with Jesus as the central focus to learn of him. The doctrine of Christ being taught and brethren gathered in prayer, in corporate prayer, it rejoices the heart of the Father. So he says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. You see, as the manner of some, that means some take up an attitude of forsaking the gathering of the saints. They don't fellowship with other believers. They live on their islands as believers. They don't have any other believers they fellowship with. But you must. Here in Faith Generation, you have the opportunity to fellowship with other believers as we are doing. Amen and amen. In your local churches, you have the opportunity to do that. Be part. Amen and amen. It is part of our worship of God. Matthew 18:20. The Bible says, wherever two, this is what Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. We saw in Revelation, when we did a study in Revelation last year, I hope you remember, that Jesus walks amongst the golden candlesticks. That means Jesus is in the midst of his church. Hallelujah. He is beholding our order. As we are gathered on the line now, Jesus is beholding our order. He is here with us. Hallelujah. Beholding our order. Listening. So that's why, as a pastor, I always ask myself this. Jesus is always in our meetings. I must be careful the things I say and teach. But people don't think about that. If Jesus was physically sitting there in the meeting, some of the things you are saying, are you sure you say them? But we soon forget. We so easily forget that Jesus is indeed with us. He is with us. He is present. Hallelujah. That's why we have to be careful the things we teach and we say. Amen and amen. He is there. He's part of our word. He's part of our gathering. The assembling of the saints. Amen and amen. Colossians chapter number 3, verse 6. The Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts. Amen and amen. Teaching and admonishing one another. Where is that going to take place? In the fellowship of the saints. Hallelujah. In the fellowship of the saints. This is what we see that practically in the life of the early church. Acts chapter number 2, verse 42. The Bible says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. You see it? All the things we've mentioned so far are here. And they devoted themselves, that is the new believers, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. This was how worship was fleshed out in the life of the early church. They devoted themselves. It was their devotion. They devoted themselves to it. It was not something they did at a convenience. They devoted themselves to it. Hallelujah. It is part of our, this is the expectation of God for us, that we are devoted to the fellowship of the brethren. We are devoted. In that fellowship, we devote ourselves to the teaching of the apostles. That is the teaching of the word of God. And if you are going to devote yourself to the teaching that is coming to you, that means as your pastor, I must also make sure I diligently devote myself to the study of the word of God so that I teach you the truth. And not only that, you must also diligently devote yourself to the word of God. Hallelujah. In studying it. Amen and amen. It happens in the fellowship of the brethren, because in there we admonish one another. It's not only the pastor teaching. Yes, I have that responsibility because Jesus placed me in that office. But amongst us, we admonish ourselves. Because the word of Christ dwells in all of us richly. How does the word of Christ dwell in all of us richly? Because we are each growing in the knowledge of Christ. The word of Christ dwells in us richly. You see it? So that when we come together, we can admonish one another. We can encourage and exhort one another. This is what happens in the fellowship of the brethren. Paul says to the Corinthian church, when you come together, one has a song, one has a tongue, one has a doctrine, one has a teaching. Let all things be done in order. You understand what we are talking about? Amen and amen. He says, one has a tongue, one has an interpretation. This should be regular among us, the fellowship of the brethren. We are together in one body, and each one of us have something given by the Spirit to supply to the body. The Bible says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to one to profit withal. What the Spirit of God is doing in you is meant to profit us all. We must benefit from what the Spirit of God is doing in you. Hallelujah. We must. That's why in the morning prayers, we try to encourage, you know, for everyone to lead. And after you lead, you share the word of God every morning. Take it seriously. Amen and amen. We are benefiting from the word of Christ which dwells in you richly. You can't share if you've not grown in the word of Christ, you've not grown in the knowledge of Christ. This rejoices the heart of the Father, the fellowship of the brethren. Depart. Depart. Don't let the world deceive you otherwise that you can live alone. You can. God has not designed the Christian life to be that way. And in our worship of God, this is God's expectation. That you fellowship with the brethren. Amen and amen. That you fellowship with the brethren. Hallelujah. You fellowship with the brethren. It rejoices the heart of the Father. It is part of your worship of God. And in that fellowship, we've just seen what happens there to make it the fellowship of God. Amen and amen. Last but not the least, what constitutes our worship of God? Participation in ministry. Somebody say with me, participation in ministry. Oh, Faith Generation, talk to me. Say with me, participation in ministry.
Participation in ministry.
Or let me say this. Say it this way, participation in the ministry.
Participation in the ministry.
Hallelujah. It is part of our worship. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 19, 10 with me there quickly. We want to read it together. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 19. The Bible says that to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. There is something that has been committed to us. What is that? The word of reconciliation. What is this word of reconciliation? Look at verse 18. And all things are of God, who had reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and had given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So the ministry of reconciliation and the word of reconciliation are the same thing. That means the ministry is the message. The message is the ministry. Hallelujah. Somebody say with me, the ministry is the message.
The ministry is the message.
And the message is the ministry.
And the message is the ministry.
What has God committed to us? He's committed to us, 2 Corinthians 5, 18, the ministry of reconciliation. And then he now explains it further in verse 19. He says, the word of reconciliation is a commitment. He's committed it to us. Hallelujah. That means that he has deemed us faithful. That is why he committed it to us. God will not commit something to you if he doesn't deem you faithful. Now, he deemed you faithful in Christ because you were a new creation in him. So he is committed unto you and I, the ministry of reconciliation. That is the message of the gospel. In the message of the gospel, men are reconciled back to God. This is our commitment, what has been committed to our charge. Hallelujah. Therefore, participation in this ministry is part of our worship of God. God expects each one of us to participate in this ministry. That is to actively be involved in the ministry. You can't sit on the fence as a believer. You are not worshiping God if you do that. You must actively participate in the ministry, because the Holy Spirit who indwells you carries within the grace, the strength, the ability to engage in the work of the ministry. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible says, our sufficiency is of God. The sufficiency that he was speaking in ministry terms. That is, we are able to execute the apostolate. We are able to do that which God wants us to do because he is our strength. Our sufficiency is not of ourselves. Hallelujah. And each one of us has been made sufficient for the work of the ministry. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse 11. Turn with me your Bibles there quickly. We are answering the question, what constitutes our worship of God? Ephesians chapter number 4, verse 11, the Bible says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. Do you see that? For the edifying of the body of Christ. So those fourfold ministry offices, their work is to perfect, that is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So as a pastor, my job is equipping you for the work of the ministry. How do I equip you with the word? So the teaching of the word of God that is coming to you is equipping you for the work of the ministry. Amen and amen. What is this ministry? Reconciling men back to God, preaching the message of the gospel, and edifying the body of Christ. So there's something in you that must come to the edification of the body of Christ. Remember, we said what the Spirit is doing in you is supposed to profit all, benefit us all. Hallelujah. So that's why I keep telling you, you are in ministry, whether you know it or not. There's nothing like, oh, are you going to go into ministry? No, you are in ministry. You were born into the ministry. Hallelujah. It's not now you are going to decide, oh, God has not called me. Who said? He called you. It's not now you are going to decide, oh, God has not yet called me into the ministry. He's called you as a believer. He's already committed into your task. My job as a pastor is to teach you and equip you through that teaching to perform the work of the ministry that has been given to you. Amen and amen. Each one of us, faith generation, hallelujah, we are in the ministry. Somebody say with me, I'm in the ministry. Talk to me, faith generation. Say with me, I'm in the ministry.
I am in the ministry.
Hallelujah. Say with me, I'm actively involved in ministry.
I'm actively involved in ministry.
You see, the reason some people don't see themselves like that is because they think, well, God has not called me into a pastoral role or a prophet, office of a prophet or an apostle. No. Each one of us has our place. And last year we said, the theme for last year was doing the work of the ministry. That's what we dealt with, basically. You know, being meat for the master's use, prepared for every good work. And we carefully explained that fact, that every believer is in the ministry. You are in there. Now, as you grow in the work of the ministry, Christ may appoint you to one of these fourfold offices where you would be able to equip other believers. Now, that should be your goal, that you will also be able to equip other believers. Until then, what is your role? Remember, he has already given you what you ought to do. Exhorting other believers because the word of Christ dwells in you richly. Preaching the gospel to others. Telling others about Jesus. Hallelujah. Preaching the gospel to reconcile men back to God. Allowing that which the Spirit is doing in you to profit everyone in the church. Edifying the body of Christ. That is your ministry that's been. Every believer is in the ministry. So never ask that question, are you going to go into ministry? You are there. Don't ask any believer that question. Rather, you should ask the person, what are you doing in the ministry? What are you doing? We are all in the vineyard of God. It's not only Pastor Sam. We are all in God's vineyard. Amen. Shate magolo gozula batayas. Acts chapter number 5, verse 42. The Bible says, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. You see it? And daily, the believers, the early believers, and daily, they were conscious of the fact that they were in the ministry, that Christ had committed to them the message of the gospel, and they had to run with it. Daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Christ Jesus. The message was specific. It's not just going to tell people things that are good and nice and give them encouraging, inspiring words. No. Our message is specific. It is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we say Him we preach. We don't just pick things that are nice and good and say to people, no. The good news, sometimes I heard something some time ago. Somebody said, the good news to the sick man is that he'll be healed. And the good news to the poor man is he can be rich. Who said that? The good news to the rich man and the poor man alike. The good news to the poor man is not that he'll be rich. The good news of Christ to the poor man that is that he now in Christ, he can be born again. And that same good news is the same for the rich man. The good news for the sick person is that in Christ, he can be born again. After he is born again, healing will flow to him. Hallelujah. The good news is one, is the message of what Christ has accomplished for all of mankind. So we ought to know this message, live in this message, preach and teach this message. Hallelujah. And all of us, this trust has been committed to us. It is part of our worship of God. So if you are not actively engaged in the ministry, you are not worshiping God. We said, what constitutes our worship of God? Amen and amen. Growing in the knowledge of Christ, so that the word of Christ will dwell in you richly, so that in your fellowship with the brethren, which is also part of your worship of God, you can admonish, you can encourage, hallelujah, you can exhort the brethren. Amen and amen. Prayer, we are instructed, must be constant. We must continue in it. We must persevere in it. It is part of our worship of God. Amen and amen. Fellowshipping with the brethren is part of our worship of God. Walking in love toward all the brethren. The Bible says we should love one another dearly with a sincere love. This is part of our fellowship with the other brethren. Amen and amen. But we are indeed concerned about one another. These things are things that rejoice the heart of the Father. Maybe later on we'll delve into each one of them in depthly. Hallelujah. In the fellowship of the brethren, that's what you understand. That's what we understand in our relation to one another. What are the things that please God in our relation to one another? It's all part of our worship. When a brother is overtaken in a fault, what do we do? The Bible says we should restore such a one in love. Hallelujah. We don't go about spreading the faults and weaknesses of brothers. You know, some people say, you know, well, let's not cover up anything. Let's not, you know, sweep anything under the rug. The moment they hear of a pastor or a leader or another Christian, in quote, fall in their minds, they say fall. In Christ, he has not fallen. Hallelujah. They want to spread it on Facebook. They engage in long discussions on Instagram and everything. They do IG live, YouTube live to discuss whatever. Sometimes I wonder if they've read the scripture that said love covers a multitude of sins. Hallelujah. I wonder if they've read the scripture that says that you must restore that brother in love. Hallelujah. You see, in our relation to one another, loving one another the way Christ loved us, how God forgave us in Christ, restoring such a one. Hallelujah. Praying for the restoration of such brother, loving one another intensely, sincerely. This is part of our feeling, and these are things that please the heart of the Father. It is part of our worship. And then we say participation in the ministry. All of us are in the ministry. Rita, you are in. Alicia, you are there. Phil, it's too late for you. You can't resign. If you are resigning for the ministry, it means you want to resign as a believer. You can't. Hallelujah. Each one of us is in the ministry. We need to find our place in the body of Christ and function as such. Amen. The Spirit of God is working in you for the benefit of all. Hallelujah. Mato se libra da caseta labas. So we've answered the question then. What constitutes our worship as believers? We've answered that. Growing in the knowledge of Christ. Prayer. Fellowshipping with the brethren. And actively participating in the ministry. Amen and amen. Mazada basila bakola batayas. Mangra pasende kutabahando koshe. Zilibianto say, thank you, Father. Amen and amen. Sister Felicia, you have your hand up. I think Sister Felicia has a question. Sister Felicia.
Yes, Pastor Sam.
Yes.
I had a quick question. So is there anything like being called and being sent, as in so this week I heard something about us all being called, but some are sent, and it's only when you like there's a word for you or something like that that you are sent, and so you have to kind of like deliver, and so not everyone is sent. So what I kind of understood was not everyone is sent to go out there, but that was kind of confusing to me, because I'm like, okay, if everyone is called and then some are sent, then why are we even supposed to like all preach the gospel? So I don't know if that statement is even correct. It was a preacher that was saying that, and I wasn't sure if it's even if it even makes any biblical sense or anything. So yeah, and because it was online, I couldn't ask this question, so I thought maybe I would only hear.
Well, Felicia, that's a very good question. And I think you answered the question yourself. Hallelujah. You answered the question yourself. There's nothing like there are some who are called and some who are sent. What did Jesus say? As the Father sent me. Somebody continue for me. What did Jesus say? As the Father sent me.
Send I you.
Come on, speak it like you know it. As the Father sent me.
So sent.
Hallelujah. Every believer is sent. Amen. What are we sent to do? Sent with the message of the gospel. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring good news. Hallelujah. Every believer is sent. So in Acts chapter number 8 verse 4, the Bible says that when the believers face persecution, they scattered abroad, and this is what they did. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. They were not as saying, oh, as for me, I'm not saying so as I'm going. Everywhere they went, they were preaching the word. In that, they saw themselves as missionaries. Everywhere they traveled, they preached the word. Every believer is sent. Every believer is sent. Now, in the ministry, that's why I explained to you, and I explained this several times. There are offices that are meant to equip the believers for the work of the ministry. Those offices are fourfold ministry: the apostles, the prophets, the pastor teachers, and the evangelists. Their work is to equip the believers for the work of the ministry. And that's what I'm doing now. I'm equipping you for the work. By teaching you the word of God, you are being equipped to do that which God has given you to do. If not, if you are not sent, why should we even equip you? It is because we are all sent. That's why we are given pastors, teachers, prophets, and apostles to equip us. Hallelujah. For the work of the ministry which is given to us. So you are sent to go. Jesus said, go into all the world. What more could be a sending than that? Hallelujah. Go into all the world. You are sent. You are sent. Amen and amen. Don't give any excuse to sit on the fence. The Bible says, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Don't find an excuse for yourself to sit on the fence. No. Don't let man decide what you do in the ministry. In the sense that you tell you, like Felicia is saying, you're not saying you have to wait for God's voice before you. No. Go out there and preach the gospel. Everywhere you go, preach the gospel. Teach the gospel. Hallelujah. Share the truth. Share the message of Christ. Everywhere you go. When you meet believers, encourage, exhort, bless them with the word of God. Always carry in you the blessing of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and share it joyfully with others. Amen and amen. That is your ministry as a believer. As you partake in it, and you recognize that as you continue to grow in the word that way, the Spirit of the Lord will be leading you to specific things He would want you to do. Amen and amen. Oh, but you are sent. You are called. And even more, you are anointed for this work. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Even more, you are what? Anointed for this work. That means you are empowered by the Holy Spirit to do this work. Amen.
Amen.
You are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Actively participating in the ministry is part of your worship of God. We've identified 5 areas which constitute our worship of God as believers. So you see that worship is far, 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 far greater than what we have traditionally thought of it to be. Amen. You see, the moment you became a believer, you ceased living for yourself. It's no longer me, myself, and I. Hallelujah. You lost yourself in Christ. You lost yourself. That's why we say it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He says, yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. He says, the life I live now, I live by the faith of Him who gave Himself for me, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Amen. We live for Jesus every day. And we have that mindset. Amen and amen. Shataka doloboko shaya. We give God praise. Anybody with another question? If you have anyone with a question based on the message you heard, Felicia, thank you for that. Felicia, thank you for that. You see, man has a way of always contorting what God has done. For example, and this is not an attack or anything, but it's a fact that we are stating. For example, the Catholic Church, they found a way to change what God had done, and they created the clergy and the laity. So if you wanted to be part of the clergy, you have to go to a school and all that, you become part of the clergy. And the regular people that come to mass, they call the laity. And then when you become a part of the clergy, you go to certain training, you become a priest. But what does the word of God say? We are a royal priesthood. The day you got born again, you became a priest. So what God has already made you, they are now telling you, you must go through certain things before you can become what God has already made you. So until you become that, to them, you are not in the ministry yet. You see how man has a way of contorting what God has done. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus said, in vain these people worship me, teaching for doctrine the traditions of men. And some people hold on to those traditions dearly. Can they be able to rise above that tradition? Hallelujah. Hey, you are not called.
I have a quick follow-up question.
Yes, Felicia.
So with what you just mentioned about like using the Catholic as an example, so then should we even have Reverend, most reverend minister, you know, should we have all those, you know, titles?
Well, that's a good question. That's a very good question. As your pastor here, I'm ordained as a reverend minister. But in the scriptures, there's nothing like that. Those are man's creations. You understand? To help recognize people who are trained in the ministry, for the work of the ministry. To them, that's man's creation. But there's nothing like that in the scriptures. What the scripture teaches are pastors or pastor teachers, apostles, evangelists, and prophets. These are the titles God uses to describe various offices he calls men into. And then there are deacons mentioned in the Bible. Deacons are people who serve tables in the church. That means they oversaw the distribution of food for people in the church. In our time now, they have evolved into new roles and things they do, but that's deacons. Now, those are roles to help facilitate the administrations of the church, but they don't place a limit on what God can use and use you to do, because as I said, you're in the ministry already. And then there are bishops. A bishop simply means an overseer, somebody who oversees. So Jesus is called the bishop and shepherd of our souls because he oversees us. As a pastor, I'm a bishop in that sense because I oversee the church of God, or the, you know, the ministry, the church of God here. The church here, we are the church here. Hallelujah. So as you oversee, you're called a bishop. Amen and amen. But aside these, man has created their own. If you go to different Christian, let me call them Christian organizations, they have their own hierarchies and titles and things they give. And because there's a reverend, if there's somebody above him, he must be most reverend. And then if there's someone above him, he must be his eminence. And if there's someone above, all kinds of things. But all those things are man-made. Hallelujah. The moment they begin to interfere and begin to deceive the minds of the brethren concerning the work of the ministry, you must walk away from it. Hallelujah. The moment they begin to take precedence over what God has done, you must walk away from it. Amen and amen. So there's nothing like that. This is, there are things that we use. For example, reverend means somebody, for someone who has studied, gone through theology school, then say, you're reverend, we revere you, you've studied, you know, because the study of the things of God is revered. So they call you a reverend. But there's nothing like that in the scriptures. Hallelujah. Jesus appoints into those fourfold offices. Amen and amen. Sataka tolobokoshaya. Hallelujah. So we have so many things around that we have tied ourselves with, and we try to separate ourselves from others based on those things. But God will really have none of that. The moment those traditions of men begin to take place of the truth in Christ, you know you must put it somewhere else. You know. And sad to say, some people hold on to those traditions more than they hold on to the word of God. They believe and fight for those traditions more than they do the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. As men, in order to make the ministry move forward and be effective in it, we may have certain systems in place, but we must understand they are all man-made. And we must not be tied down by those systems. Hallelujah. You understand? I hope that answers the question, Sister Felicia.
Yes, Pastor Sam, it does. That helps. Thank you.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Yes. Like I told you, your pastor, I'm an ordained minister. I have my color. I don't wear it. You understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't wear it. Amen and amen. Doesn't mean that those who wear it and all that, you know, no, that's them. It doesn't change anything. It is the work we've been given to do. And teaching the brethren to understand the reverence and the honor they must give to them whom God has called in those offices I just mentioned, and those whom God has placed over them to oversee them. You understand? Given the honor because of their labor in the word. Hallelujah. Yeah. That's very important. Amen. We give God praise. I like that. I like that we can have an interaction like this. Any other questions? Anybody with any other question? Satabaya dalabaya. Anybody else with a question? Amen and amen. Oh. And that's why I tell you that we in this year, you're going to be, you say to yourself that I'm going to produce ministry, that ministry works. That is, you allow the Spirit of God to work through you to be a blessing to the believers, the body of Christ. Amen. As you're engaged in your priestly ministry in prayer, every day you are praying, you've been actively involved in ministry, you're not even aware of it. Every morning as you are praying for believers around the world, that's active involvement in the ministry. That is. Ministry is not some, I don't know sometimes how people think of ministry. Hallelujah. That's active involvement in the ministry. Amen and amen. Yeah. Continue, and there's more the Lord will do through you. Yes, we give God praise. Anyways, brethren, God bless you. We thank God for tonight. I know we are past our time, but it's always a wonderful thing when the word of God comes alive. Hallelujah, in our hearts. We give God praise. We give God glory. Amen and amen.